3 coming at you in the Fan Run Studios. If you missed any of the first two, check out the podcast, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, FoxSportsKnoxville.com, which is powered by 245 Tech. If you are a business owner and you have a website where you do some e-commerce or you represent yourself to the world, well, you need to give 245 Tech consideration and letting them host and protect your website. Hour 3 headlines, Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John. Rick Barnes.
You're welcome.
Rick Barnes is speaking with the media. He just said the fact that we are number one is a compliment to our players, coaches, university, and fan base.
Hey!
Rick Barnes, big with the fans.
Shout out to the fans. They are always talking about the fans now.
Barnes also said he hasn't made a big deal about the number one ranking, and he says he's not going to.
I hope that they at least celebrated, though.
Should they?
It's an accomplishment.
But should you celebrate it?
I hope he celebrated it.
Personally.
I hope he had, maybe not with the team. Okay, that's fair. Maybe you don't get together in the huddle. But I do think it should be acknowledged. Like, hey, I'm really proud of you guys, but the work's not done. Like, I think that's simple. Like, hey, congratulations on this accomplishment. You're the second team ever at Tennessee to do it. But you have to remember what they did afterwards. And that's okay. Throw them under the bus a little bit.
You weren't coaching them.
They fell apart. They got bounced in the Sweet 16. Say, that doesn't prove anything. We have to keep working. We have to stay focused. We have to grind. This means nothing. Actually, let me take that back, team. It does mean something. It does mean something. You know what it means? It means that target on your back just got bigger. You are now officially the hunted. When you walk into a gym, when you take the floor, you're the team that everyone in the country is chasing, that everyone in the country wants to see fail. Every fan base is coming for you. You are now the hunted. That's what you say.
And what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?
Huh? What are you going to do?
They're hunting you with spears and guns and knives.
Yeah?
Are you going to respond well by making baskets and winning games?
If you make enough shots, they can't shoot you at the bow and arrow. Everyone knows the rules of the hunting.
You shoot them out of the building.
Hypothetically, or I guess figuratively, with your three-point shooting, not like a gun or arrow or anything.
Unless it's Kentucky.
I hope Rick Barnes had a moment where he sat down, and I don't know if he's someone who enjoys an evening nightcap or a cigar, but I hope at some point.
No.
He sat there and maybe it was looking over his Bible.
He's a warm milk guy.
Maybe it was looking over his Bible or a cup of coffee. I could see Rick Barnes getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and having him a cup of coffee to start
his
day.
Yes. In the morning, he has a cup of coffee. Probably Folgers. Probably a pot of coffee.
Well, goes over his daily devotional.
I hope at 5 o'clock in the morning he woke up and was drinking his coffee, getting ready to start his day, and he thought and said, you know what? That's a really cool moment.
Barnes,
an accomplishment. Everyone thought I was done. I'm really proud to be at the mountaintop. I hope he had a moment where he felt good.
Barnes is a guy who has a bun coffee pot, and he drinks a whole pot in the morning. He brews it himself just the way he likes it, probably Folgers brand. That's going to be my guess.
It is the best part of waking up.
That's what they say. Like, I don't think Barnes is running through Starbucks, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's brewing his own there in the office.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, he's drinking.
He might be going to Pete's to get his breakfast.
Occasionally, he does go there from time to time. I don't think Barnes drinks anything, though. I bet at night he has a cup of warm milk.
Okay, yeah.
Just like a cat.
I didn't know if ever now that he had a glass of scotch or volunteer vodka or a nice beer to celebrate a long day. Like, I didn't know. Like, I wasn't saying that he was a drinker, but, you know, I didn't know if it was
maybe a little red wine.
Yeah, a glass of wine. Yeah. Although, as you know, JD points out, if he does enjoy a nightcap, his daughter might tell him he's going to hell again. So maybe he's just steered clear.
It's a good point.
Of all of that.
It's a good point. Did you see this tweet from Don Staley?
No, I don't follow Don Staley on Twitter.
I don't either, but the tweet.
Is he campaigning for the Tennessee job?
No, she says, one of my colleagues is at a point in the season where there's a lot of despair and loud rumbling of fire her or get rid of her already all over social media.
So it is about Holly.
No one feels as bad as she does. Show her the love Pat Summitt has given all of us and women's basketball. #PatsLove @LadyVolHoops. That's from South Carolina head coach Don Staley.
Look, I don't want to talk and I don't want to talk about the Lady Vols for too long.
It's worth mentioning.
No. I was gonna go even further on that. I think Holly needs to do the right thing and resign. I really think that. I think you do the right thing and resign.
Now, instead of making Philip Fulmer fire her.
Now maybe like if I don't know if you saw that clip that somebody shared on Twitter. Like I quote tweeted it. I don't know if you saw. Of like there's a transition play in the second quarter where the Lady Vols just walk back and Arkansas got an easy bucket. Like at that point it looked like they had packed it in. They weren't going to try. And to the Lady Vols credit, they didn't quit on We Back Pat night. They did try and they ended up getting the lead back in the fourth quarter and played really hard. So maybe now's not the time for her to resign, but it's obvious that the team isn't going to be good this year, right? It's obvious that she's not pushing the right buttons. I think you don't diminish the Lady Vol reputation. You don't make Fulmer fire you.
Right.
You don't make it be ugly. You just say, look, I'm not connecting with this team. We need to get somebody in here who can. I don't want to keep holding this program back. I really think she should resign. I think that would be the admirable thing to do.
I think so too. It's the Lady Vols. I mean, they've lost five in a row, and that just doesn't happen. And I think you got to recognize that if you're Holly. I think you're right. I think you resign, and that's the best thing for the program right now. We'll see what she does. Darren McFadden, former Oakland Raiders and Cowboys running back, was arrested on a DWI charge after falling asleep in a fast food drive-thru. It was a Whataburger. McFadden was taken into custody early Monday morning after employees at a McKinney, Texas Whataburger reported a sleeping man inside a vehicle in the drive-thru lane. Now, is Whataburger open late? Because I would think...
I'm not a Whataburger expert.
Okay, it says early Monday morning, so maybe he was... I don't think Whataburgers are 24 hours, though, so maybe he was getting some early breakfast, because Whataburger does have breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, McFadden is facing charges of driving while intoxicated and resisting arrest.
Okay.
You never had Whataburger?
I don't think so.
It's basically like a Sonic burger, but better.
Okay.
And they have, their fries are basically like McDonald's fries. So imagine a Sonic burger better with McDonald's fries.
Okay.
That's a lot like what Whataburger is. I guess it's probably good when you're drunk. As Darren McFadden found out.
Sounds like it'd be awful. I forgot to cut the very beginning of that out. My bad. I gotta fix that. I got a little bit of a YouTube ad.
Interesting. CBS.
That's on me.
CBS will not let ads for medical marijuana run during the Super Bowl this year.
Okay.
This is from Bloomberg. Acreage Holdings, which is a multi-state cannabis company backed by John Boehner, says CBS rejected a television advertisement calling for the legalization of medical marijuana. The network, airing the game on February 3rd, nixed the proposed spot after seeing a rough outline, according to the company. While medical marijuana is now legal in more than 30 states, the federal prohibition on cannabis has restricted research and made it difficult for some potential patients to get their hands on it.
Okay.
And they're not going to allow the weed on the TV.
No weed on the TV.
Weed on the TV.
As you'll see, $60 million spent to advertise beer. But no weed.
Yeah. And then Chevrolet. And then Budweiser. And then Chevrolet, and then Budweiser.
Don't forget Dodge.
And Chevrolet. And
they'll throw something Budweiser in there, but yeah.
Don't forget after you have your Budweiser, get in your Chevrolet. It's kind of weird to run so many vehicle and alcohol commercials together.
But no weed. No weed. Just remember, pick up your 24-pack, your case of Bud Light.
The NFL officials.
That's what America's all about. That's what you do with your friends.
Yeah, you've seen the horses.
You've seen the horses.
Yeah.
Horses love the high life.
Yeah, the thoroughbreds love to drink.
Yeah.
High life?
I mean, I know they're not drinking the high life, but it's just, isn't, never mind. Just, it's the Bud. I know that's a Bud Light. Budweiser commercial. Right? The horses are Budweiser.
King of beers.
Yeah.
Yeah, the horses are with Budweiser.
I don't know what Miller Lite. I was just making... Okay.
Are we making a joke?
It wasn't really a joke. It was just like, you know, different beer slogans that they've ingrained in your mind for, you know, since... For 20-something years, since you were a little kid, like, you see Clydesdales, you think beer.
Yeah.
You think living the high life, you think beer.
Clydesdales, that's what they are. I said thoroughbreds. I forget what horses are called. Rocky Mountain Fresh. Refreshing Rocky Mountain Coors Light. Is that what they
just
say?
Just move on.
All right. The NFL officials from the Saints-Rams game were forced, because of fan harassment, to move not only from their hotel room, but from downtown. Fans were livid in New Orleans.
Okay.
Members of the crew from the game had to be moved from their hotel in New Orleans to another establishment in the suburbs after being threatened by fans both in person and by telephone, according to a report from the Toronto Sun for some reason.
Okay.
The officials were escorted to the second hotel by a contingent of event security, members of the NFL's own security detail, and at least one police officer, all of whom were with them until they checked into their separate hotel rooms. How about that? And finally, for today's headlines, the bikini hiker. Familiar with her from Instagram?
I've never heard of the bikini hiker. Let me guess. She hikes around in a bikini.
She does. She wears a bikini, and she goes hiking, and she goes to interesting places like national parks and things like that and takes pictures and... You know, posts them on social media. She's an attractive girl. And now it looks like she is dead.
Okay.
So she's dead. A woman known as the Bikini Hiker for hiking mountains in just a bathing suit was found frozen to death.
Oh, no.
After she fell in a national park trying to pose for her photos.
Oh, God.
Rescue crews found the body of 36-year-old Gigi Wu inside Taiwan's Yushan National Park. Wu had alerted authorities 28 hours earlier that she had fallen, but poor weather delayed the rescue attempts. So she did let them know she had fallen, but it was a bit late. So, yeah, 28 hours later, she froze to death. Apparently, she had fallen more than 65 feet into a gorge while trying to climb Mount Yushan, one of Taiwan's highest mountains,
by the way.
They found her body at 5,500 feet above sea level, where temperatures were just above freezing.
Is that worse? If you were going to die in a situation like that, stranded, where you're basically freezing to death, right? Like, hypothermia is basically freezing to death, correct?
Yeah, she froze to death. That was
Is it worse to have a phone, call people, let them know, and them not be able to get to you? Or would you rather just, you know, be stranded and not think the help is on the way? Just kind of be like, okay, I'm done for.
I think it's best to think help is on the way. At least you die with some hope. You know, if you just know, like, I'm going to die here, I feel like that's worse.
I mean, at a certain point, the realization probably sets in, like, while you're waiting, like, they're not going to be able to make it. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man.
You got to stop chattering.
You got to start coming to peace with it.
I don't think you are. I mean, I don't think you're able to. And obviously, I don't have much experience or expertise in this. But I did see a movie once where the guy, you know, supposedly had hypothermia before. And he was talking about, you know, when you have hypothermia set in, you go delusional and, like, deranged. And you, like, go outside your mind. So I don't think you do come to peace with it. I think your mind does some really crazy things. So I'd say you're not at peace. I'd say you're suffering and really freaking out and, you know, struggling.
The only thing I've ever seen with hypothermia is when Jack dies in Titanic.
Yeah.
It just seems like he goes to sleep.
Authorities did not describe what she was wearing, by the way.
Did he have hypothermia in that movie?
Or frostbite.
I mean, I know it's cold, but, I mean, he just drowned. He was still alive. Well, I guess he had died on the...
He died on the
wood.
Yeah, I'd say the hypothermia killed Jack.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, if this girl was known as the fur coat hiker, she might have survived.
The escape game in downtown Knoxville is
back on the program as we roll on in hour three. Getting a lot of love for my power rankings. If there's anything I know, it's shirts. That's right. Great at shirts. All right, let's hit a Preds report, Ben Lee.
Well, John, Saturday evening, the National Predators took on the Florida Panthers. They lost in a game that went 4-2. It did not go very well. But they turned around on Monday night, played against the Colorado Avalanche, and it went very well as they won 4-1.
All right.
Excellent report, Ben. What is the Preds' record now?
Give me one moment. I can tell you that. They are 29-18-4.
Excellent.
Where do they rank in the standings?
That would put them at second in the Central.
Well, hopefully they'll get to first by year's end.
They're currently two games back to Winnipeg at 31-15-2.
As you see on Cody Mack's shirt as he's rocking the Preds Hops and Hollers shirt.
Smash.
If you're looking to catch a Hops and Hollers game with some of your fellow Preds fans, Hops and Hollers is that place to do that. They are a Preds approved bar and the place to watch Preds games, especially playoff games. But all games, but mostly playoff games. Playoff games are electric. I know they still watch. Well, I'm in there some nights for Preds games, and they got people rocking the jerseys in it and are in there. So regular season, if you're looking for somewhere to watch it, postseason, anywhere, Hops and Hollers, and we will be there tomorrow night as your number one ranked Tennessee Vols hit the hardwood and head to Nashville. What are you smirking about?
I don't know. I think I just had a stroke.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Let's get Roger. What's up, Roger?
Well, hey, guys.
Hey.
How y'all doing today?
I'm doing good, Roger.
Hello.
Hey, guys. Hi, Cody. How's it going? How's it going, Cody?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. Yeah, I can't complain about anything.
Huh?
I can't complain about anything, and if I did, it wouldn't do any good, Rog.
Yeah, it's a great day. It's a great day.
Sure and, is.
I just wanted to have a question for you about the number one thing, but I just want to say it's great, ain't it? Great,
oh,
you
know, yeah. Number
it's
one.
It's great, ain't it? It's
number one. Number one.
Number one.
That's
number
right.
Number one, man, buddy.
Feels good.
Yeah, it's great, and I just wanted to ask you about it. Is how long do you think? I know you think Tennessee can keep us for a while.
Every time we look at this Tennessee schedule, you feel like a loss is going to happen eventually, but I can't pick it out. If Tennessee wins on Wednesday, which they should, maybe the 29th at South Carolina, but I don't think they're going to lose there either. Missouri's not very good. They've already shown they can handle them. Florida in Knoxville, that should be a game Tennessee wins. Maybe they keep it all the way to February 16th when they have to head to Lexington to play Kentucky.
Yeah.
Or, Roger, maybe they keep it for the month of the remainder of January, February, March, and April.
Wow! How about that?
Maybe. I'd be better, Cody.
Maybe.
And better.
Tennessee may finish this year with just one loss. I don't think that's likely. I mean, we'll stumble somewhere en route to this national championship. But maybe. My bet would be, if anything, we would lose at Kentucky on February 16th. That's going to be the toughest game.
We think that the toughest, besides the kids are coming up later. What team you think it's gonna be probably the toughest Tennessee? That the toughest game you think it's gonna be for Tennessee?
I think it's at Rupp. I think it's always gonna be at Rupp.
Yep, at Kentucky, February 16th.
Okay.
Anything else, Roger?
Not a whole lot. I can't wait to see how we do tomorrow night. How you think?
We're gonna kill him. We're gonna gut him like fish. We're gonna take him out, Roger. They're the fish we just caught. We're gonna take our knife. We're gonna gut him.
Is Roger gone?
I hope so.
I wanted to hear Roger's response to you.
No, I think it's a little too violent.
Gut him like fish.
I think that's a little too violent.
I think Roger would support that.
He was pumped up to be number one.
Rodgers ready to beat these teams down just like we are.
Tennessee should go into Memorial Gym as 14-ish point favorites.
That's going to be an ugly game.
I mean, it's a rivalry game.
I mean, Vandy's 0-5, the SEC.
I know, but...
That's a 32-point win.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, I hope so. I hope Tennessee gets back to just dog walking, as Cardi would say. Dog walking teams in the SEC. I don't want another close game. I would prefer just a beatdown.
I've become Team Cardi B in the last few days. I was kind of annoyed by her during her rise to fame in the last few months, but now I think I like her.
Big fan of Cardi.
After what she said to Tommy Loren, who is my least favorite person in America.
Big fan of Cardi. But I hope Tennessee gets back to just beating teams down. But if you saw the West Virginia-Kansas game, I mean, that was a rivalry game where West Virginia was 0-5 in conference, and a top-ranked Kansas team went in, and it was just a close game, and you know, the home team was able to win. I hope that's not the situation on Wednesday, and I don't think that it's going to be as raucous of a state of an arena, right? Like, I do think Tennessee's probably going to have 40% of fans in attendance.
Well, it's sold out, so I feel like we're going to have even more than that.
Okay, so is 40% low, in your opinion?
Yeah, because otherwise, why would Vanderbilt be selling out that arena?
Well, I mean, they could have 70% of their fans, and, you know, 30% of Tennessee fans bought the last tickets, and that's...
Nah.
Okay, I mean, you might be right.
50% orange, at least.
Okay.
At least.
So, obviously, that wouldn't be the same type of atmosphere that Kansas had to go into when they played West Virginia.
I mean, Vandy's 0-5 in the SEC. They're, what, 9-8? I mean, the support can't be all that high right now.
It can't be, but like I said, it's still a rivalry game, and we're, you know, Vanderbilt's going to – I would say Vanderbilt fans are going to show up to try to beat Tennessee.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're hosting number one in your arena. So.
And your biggest rival.
That's true. That's true. I'm going to say 92-69.
That'd be nice.
That's not 30. What is that? 23 points? 92-69. That's my score. Would you like to pick one?
Not today.
Okay, maybe tomorrow?
Maybe tomorrow.
We should pick a score for every game, and the first one to get one right gets some sort of prize.
Like a toy?
I don't know, some sort of prize. We'll come up with an incentive.
Some temporary tattoos. You may go by the restaurant and, you know, no, pay for those temporary tattoos. Not get like some a, change out. Not, get you a prize.
We're not talking Cracker Jack prizes. I mean, like something substantial, like a gift card to a restaurant, something like that.
Okay.
Nate will provide it.
All right, I'm in. Yeah, we'll get Nate to provide it.
We'll ask Nate to provide one $25 gift card to a restaurant of our choosing.
Now we're talking.
And the first one to nail a score prediction, if we're able to nail it,
yeah,
Nate has to get that gift card.
Now, does the winner have to take the loser out?
No. No.
So you just don't want to, like, scam some free lunches out of this?
I'm just trying to find a way to get a gift card. Well, I mean, I feel like...
I know, but if we agree to take the other person, like, we're guaranteed to get the gift card if we ever land on it.
I feel like as an employee, and Nate is the employer, that should be a really good bonus that he could offer, perhaps, to, you know, either of his hosts who are able to pick an accurate score. I mean, because that's hard to do. You know how hard that is.
Can we make it 30 and I'll throw a pick in?
I don't think.
No, I think it should just be limited to show hosts.
I don't think that would be fair, Ben.
Yeah, sorry. Just to keep it fair.
Yeah, it's
nothing against you. You do a great job.
It's a three-man show.
Yeah, but you know, we're trying to just, I think, something we were gonna do.
Yeah, I mean, like, three's kind of a crowd here on this one.
All right, I get it. It's fine.
And 30's a lot. That's a lot to ask from, you know. I mean, that's
$5 more than.
I mean, you can eat lunch for 10. Maybe we make it like $15 gift card. You know.
Okay. I'll see what I can do.
Let's see if Nate will jump on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Nate would go for that. He's probably listening right now. He's like, there's no way either of these guys could pick a score perfectly. And if we do, yeah, we'll see if we can work something out.
Okay. I'll put it on the docket of things to talk about the boss with.
All right.
So Cody was wanting free gift cards.
Only if, no, I mean, we got to earn it.
When we land on the exact basketball score.
Think about if Will Warren was involved in this.
I was going to say, to be fair. You already
have two gift cards to Will Warren.
Yeah.
He's nailed it twice, and John has the breakdown first.
That's true. I will quit sharing the Saturday one with you on the air.
That's fine. I pick my own scores. I don't need analytics.
I think we owe you a pat of the face, too. I don't think we ever paid that off for me being closer on the Vanderbilt score.
You weren't closer.
I think we owe you a pat of the face. And I got to do the damn gauntlet on Thursday. Damn it. Citizens National Bank. There are some, rumors swirling. No, they almost got me. Not this time.
Are you saying that
I don't know. I'm so tired of people on the internet trying to trick people.
Feel like you're taking a shot at Grit.
No. Well, I had to just mute that account.
Was it Vol Groomer Mill?
This one wasn't this one. Or this. My frustrations isn't with them today. Yesterday with the WTOP, I'm just like, okay. Like, me personally, that's how I usually don't get got, was by not just, I mute or block all of them. Like, you're not going to get me. But out of respect to a friend, I kept it unmuted. But when I'm doing the radio and I'm just trying to stay up to date, like breaking news, get the horn out. But I said, you know what? I had to put friendships aside and had to mute the account.
Was it Vol Groomer Mill?
Yesterday it was, not today.
Was
today is Football Swoop?
No.
Posing as Football Scoop.
Was WTOP? Was that not a real?
It was from last year.
Ah.
Or from last week. Last week.
Ah.
So. I keep getting caught, and I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I wish we'd have left that in 2018. Like, as we're getting through these New Year's resolutions, I wish some of that stuff would have stayed in 2018.
Apparently, Trey's on Periscope again.
I would just leave it alone.
During our show.
I would just leave it alone. Just leave it alone.
I'm going to go out there.
Just leave it alone. We love Trey. Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone.
Of course we love Trey. I'm going to get on the Periscope and just comment things.
Well, I mean, I'd appreciate if you'd focus today. You can do that later. I thought, you know, a Tennessee coach had been rumored to be leaving, but then I look and actually do some investigation. And let me tell you, these guys are getting good now. Now they're linking articles. Assuming you're not going to click on them and actually look to get fooled. And they almost got me because it had, like, hey, Chris Rump, who is Tennessee's co-defensive coordinator and outside linebackers coach, expected to be heading to, I believe it was Florida. But it was Football Swoop, but it had the link to the article, so I was like, I clicked on the article. But luckily I ran a good little control F to search and nothing there. But they're getting trickier.
So Chris Rumpf is not leaving.
He's not. No. No.
Well, what do you want me to focus on then?
Helping me, because I had the conversation ready about Chris Rumpf and just kind of giving that news, but now that's not actually happening, so now I need you to kind of help me when I'm drowning. Every now and then, look, I know I'm calm, cool, and corrected.
Collected?
Corrected. Calm, cool, and corrected. All the time. And you feel like I could just make something out of nothing, but sometimes I feel like I'm drowning. And every now and then I need you to lift out and come through with something clutch to pull me out of the water.
Well, I've got something. Apparently a woman has been shot outside a gas station after performing a sex act in exchange for $5 and some potato chips in Jacksonville, Florida. Heartbreaking story.
Sometimes I just prefer to drown. Sometimes I just prefer to drown.
You asked for my help. That's
one of the saddest stories I've ever heard.
I had a story ready. I know it's sad. I reported it in a somber tone.
Like, what was she having to do for $5 and potato chips? Like, what was she having to do? Like, her life is that hard right now?
Maybe she was a crack addict. I don't know that as a fact.
That's sad.
I haven't read the story, but it does sound sad, and that's why I reported it in a somber tone. It's close to home. Jacksonville, Florida, not that far from here. Things like this happen in Knoxville.
What's the worst, most gut-wrenching loss you've ever experienced?
I've seen that question going around.
And it happens every time there's a bad playoff loss or a bad postseason loss.
The most gut-wrenching loss of all time?
Yeah, like what's the worst a loss has ever made you feel?
Oh, boy. You know, as a Tennessee football fan, there's just so many to pick from.
Uh-huh.
The Florida losses, 14-15, probably both of those. 15 would have been worse.
I'm enjoying this basketball ride, but we've seen that train coming down.
Yep, we're all going to die.
The tracks. If it doesn't get paid off with the national championship, we might have a new answer for number one.
I think we've just got to continue believing and speaking into existence that national championship, that we're going to win a title.
Yeah.
We're going to cut down the damn nets.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that old AC/DC song.
Cutting down the nets.
Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing.
Or could be on a highway to hell.
God.
Cam Reddish drilling a three. In the championship game, buzzer beater.
We'll have a nice little buffer zone. Like, if you get the trip to the Final Four, you then get a do you get a free pass in that Final Four game? Like in that semifinals, if you lose there, where it's not as crushing.
No, that's gonna hurt even worse.
Well, I feel like. You think it hurts even worse? Like I feel like losing in the Elite Eight before you get to the Final Four would be number one most painful. I think losing in the championship game would be second most painful.
No. Losing in the championship game's got to be number one. It's got to be number one.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Ben Lee, do you agree that losing in the championship game would be more painful than losing in the Elite Eight? Thumbs down. Cameron, thumbs up for the national championship, thumbs down for the Elite Eight.
Do you guys realize how big the stage would be playing for a national championship?
Yeah, but you'd be playing for a national championship. Like, you're happy to be there. You're first ever.
But you'll be devastated losing that game.
I think you'll be crushed losing the Elite Eight and not make the program's first ever Final Four. Not to get to hang an actual banner. Like, we get to – We have an Elite Eight banner right now, right?
We'll hang an Elite Eight banner.
Well, I don't think – I mean, the banner's already hanging, right?
Like, Final Four gets a banner of itself.
Right, you get to actually hang a banner. Right. And you'll probably get one for a national runner-up, too,
But you say that now, but imagine if we're in the national championship game. I mean, which I realize that's a huge accomplishment, but that loss will be devastating. It'll be the toughest loss you could imagine. You'd trade distant family members to win it.
I'm not making the case that the final to win the Elite Eight game and get to the Final Four would be sweeter than the national championship.
I know.
I'm not making that argument because I do think, winning the final game and being the last man standing, the last team standing, that would be a greater thrill, I think.
I think the further we go, the worse it's going to hurt.
I think a loss in the second round would hurt worse than a loss in the Sweet 16. I think it's going like on a little curve, like losing first round, awful.
The zigzag.
Yeah, losing second round, awful. Losing Sweet 16, okay, a little bit less awful. Elite Eight, oh, man, that's gut-wrenching.
Because you should have gone to the Final Four.
Because you could have gone to your first ever Final Four, and then it takes a dip again for the semifinal game. Like, hey, you made a Final Four. You got to hang a banner. You made history that your program has never made. You paid it off with the Final Four trip. losing the semifinals, okay, that one's not as bad, and then spike back up for the national championship, but still not as high as those other, you know, first round, second round, Elite Eight.
I don't know. I don't know what it feels like to lose in a national championship game.
That's true. We are 1-0 in our lifetime.
We've never lost a national championship game. But I imagine it hurts. I imagine you feel like Falcons fans felt. Sorry, Cam. To finally get there. And well, then just be devastated.
Well, this just turned depressing.
Can we change the narrative to, like, what if we're up in the national championship game like 20 points?
Well, no, we're not doing it.
And then we find a way to lose.
We're not going with the story of the game. I'm just looking. Like, I do think the swim, I feel very, very strongly that the semifinal game doesn't crack this list.
I think losing the national championship game hurts worse than that Michigan State loss we had in 2010.
Well, to that I would just say, well, that team made history, so I think losing in the Elite Eight with this team, who was ranked number one in the country, when you've had a buildup of, you know, a full season, I think losing in the Elite Eight for this team would hurt much more than losing in the Elite Eight for the Michigan State game, too. Like, I don't think those are going to be comparable. At that point, you had a little bit of house money. You were further than you expected.
That's true.
Like this one, like you've been counting down the days for the tournament since last year.
It's going to hurt like hell either way.
Oh, it is.
Unless we win the natty. That's what
we're,
you know,
we're putting to the test the whole better to love and lost than never loved at all, because we're in love right now. And we are 2 feet in. We are planning a life together, even though we know that this person might not be. We know the odds of us living happily ever after are less than 50%. So obviously in this situation, it's more like 10-15%. But
and that's the tough thing about being ranked number one. It only gets worse from here.
What was it that Alex Hitchens said in the movie Hitch, starring Will Smith as Hitch? You just got to jump, right? And hope to God you can fly. Isn't that what he said to her?
At the very end.
Yeah, that's what love is, right? When you feel like you're jumping out of a plane and you just hope you can fly.
Then he gets hit by a car.
Huh?
He jumps on top of her car. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thrown off.
That was a bad zigzag in a movie. I hate the end of Hitch.
Bad ending.
Like, Eva Mendez is so sweet throughout most of the whole movie.
And he may or may not have hooked up her sister with that dude.
Wait, what?
Remember, because, like, he, like, at some point remembers, like, her little sister's name, but, like, he's never, like, met or talked about her. Like, when he's, like, messed up on the cold medicine when he had an allergic reaction. You need to go back and watch the movie.
I think that might have been from him just doing research on her family.
Oh, maybe.
Because, you know, like he finds out her grandfather was the butcher. Or, you know, he came to Ellis Island. I think he had just done a lot of recon and was a little creepy. I don't think it was implied that he hooked those guys, those people up. Because he would have recognized the guy at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think you need to go back and watch. I'm just an idiot. I think you need to go back and watch the movie. Don't challenge me in my Hitch knowledge. One of the great rom-coms of all time. Right? I mean,
it can be inferred either way, I think.
Well, no, he would have known, like, hey, I recognize you, you're not with her. But Eva Mendez left him out to dry.
I hate that part of the movie.
She is really just acting like that is her man, and so is he. Like, I'd be like, hey, bro, this is not my woman.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, but Rick Barnes is on SportsCenter.
You've never watched Hitch?
Look, it's Rick Barnes.
It is Rick Barnes.
Turn it up.
Let's go to break and hear what Rick Barnes says. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. The program, as always, brought to you by our friends at Volunteer Vodka. Stop by, pick you up a bottle. Award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee. Bristol, to be exact. Rick Barnes is on SportsCenter right now. Don't turn the channel. He's about to go off. Trust me. You don't want to turn your attention away from us. But basically, he's just doing the rounds as the coach of the number one team in the country. Was asked about Penny Hardaway and actually had a pretty decently long response about Penny Hardaway and just flat out said, look, I don't know what he's talking about. About said, what the hell? Which Rick Barnes did not say, so I had to stop myself. But
he doesn't use the H word.
He does not. He does not.
Wouldn't you love to hear him, though, just come out and be like, yeah, look, like on SportsCenter, we don't give a damn about Penny Hardaway. We're number one in the country.
If Penny's got something to say to me, he can come say it to my face. We'll see him in Knoxville next year. We're not worried about Penny Hardaway in Memphis. I don't know if you saw, but we're number one in the country. All right? But no, he actually said, look, I don't think that I never said anything bad about Penny Hardaway or Memphis or the NBA. I quite frankly don't know where he's getting that from. Maybe someone on Twitter misrepresented something I said and he saw that. I don't know. And then when you know he got asked about the number one ranking, and he just said, hey, our goal is to be the best team we can possibly be, and we can't do that in the middle of the season, so we're not worried about it. I mean, nothing surprising there. Pump the brakes or keep rolling. Cody Mack, would you like to go first or second?
I can go first today.
All right, go first.
Wisconsin man has interesting response involving an axe after he thought his wife damaged his action figures.
Pump your brakes, kid.
A Wisconsin man used an axe to destroy many of his expensive personal items after he thought his wife had damaged his action figures. He then called 911 on himself after he realized he had overreacted just a bit. The 34-year-old man, who is unidentified at the moment, made the call after 10 p.m. on Sunday. According to a blog post from the Madison, Wisconsin Police Department, he allegedly admitted to drinking too much and then overreacting to his 46-year-old wife. Apparently what he did is he used an axe to destroy the TV stand, a laptop, and several other items in the house. He then moved outside and smashed the family car, chopping off both side mirrors and eventually striking the windshield with such force that the axe became stuck in it.
You know what they say. Here's Johnny.
Here's Johnny. Don't come between a man and his action figures.
Bad news for United Airlines.
Yep.
I know these people didn't die, but this sounds way worse than being trapped in the Ravon that bikini hiker was trapped in. United Airlines passengers were stuck on the tarmac for 16 hours in negative 29 degree Celsius weather as the plane door froze shut after an emergency landing in Canada.
I think that's like minus 80 Fahrenheit.
What, 32 degrees is 0 degrees, so minus 29 degrees. Minus 29 degrees Celsius. Is that? It says in hyphen 29 degrees Celsius. Is that supposed to be negative? Because if so, that sounds pretty awful.
I mean, that's pretty low. 0 is 32 degrees in Celsius.
Yeah, so like negative 29 would be like 5, 6 degrees, something like that.
That's
yeah,
like negative 80.
Negative 20 Fahrenheit?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Cold.
Yeah, they were trapped in this airplane. The doors froze shut. They couldn't get out. They didn't really have food. They didn't really have blankets. They had a couple of blankets, but you know those really thin ones, not the big ones. Trapped in there for 16 hours.
At least they had each other.
I don't think you'd want to be around those people. Miserable. Although at that point, you have to just get. You would have been prime candidate for people to sit next to. Body heat.
Imagine all all the farts they were basking in.
Okay.
Gross.
Maybe you wouldn't have been the ideal seat partner.
The escape game in downtown Knoxville is the perfect one-hour adventure.